You know, whenever you come to a new place, people are always kind to you and people always make you feel welcome. But to look out and see some faces that I know, and I see many faces I know, I'm not going to mention one I really like, John Smith, but I wouldn't say it out loud. But but it's just good to be with you tonight and appreciate you being so kind and asking me to come. We are going to focus tonight on one statement by Jesus, and I really think it's important that we all read it together, so I want to invite you to take your Bibles. There's a few Bibles there. Maybe you got your phones. Take your Bibles, please, and open them to Matthew chapter 7. I really think it's important that we read this together before we dissect it and kind of get it into our hearts and our minds. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 7 and 8. God's holy word says this: ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I want to ask you a question. Before you think about it and start trying to quantify it, when you first hear that promise, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Hold it right there. You ain't got to say it out loud. You hear that, you read those words from Jesus, ask and you will receive. What's the very first thing that comes to your mind? Because this declaration for the Lord, from the Lord, while it does have some power to it, it does have promise and it does have excitement, you who've prayed for a long time in your life realize for some folks, it can cause disappointment and confusion. Would you not agree? What did he just say? Ask and what will happen? You're going to get it. But then, of course, guess what happens in real life? Let me do something first really quick. How many of you in this room pray regularly? Raise a hand. Okay? How many of you pray and have seen a tangible answer to some of your prayers? You said, I prayed and that happened. Hopefully you've had some of that. Now, how many of you ever prayed about something for a person or a thing? You prayed with the right heart and the right spirit, and it didn't get answered the way you prayed. Do you kind of see the disconnect there for a lot of folks? He says what? What color are these letters? Anybody got a Bible with colored letters? They're red. So Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. This is kind of a dilemma. Jesus says, ask and you're going to receive. But then we face this idea of unanswered prayer. And we've all wrestled with that from time to time, haven't we? Can we be honest here? We in church, we need to tell the truth, right? We've all at some point, it doesn't mean we don't love the Lord. We've all wrestled with this. He says to ask, and we don't ask for to win the lottery. We don't ask some crazy, like, give me a Lamborghini. We ask something from the heart. We say, God, I want this person to be healed. They're great and they're kind. God, I need this job. I need it to support my family. I will work hard. I'm not asking for anything out of the ordinary. We pray for that prodigal child to come back home, right? We pray and pray and pray. But guess what happens sometimes, friends? We pray with the right heart, the right spirit. We don't pray selfish, but guess what happens often? It gets worse. The marriage falls apart, the job goes away, and the child keeps going more and more in rebellion. And what do we do at that point? We're supposed to say the church thing and go, whatever your will is, Lord, it's okay, I don't have a problem with it. But that's not real, is it? We do love the Lord, we do accept his will, but we hurt inside, and we cry out and we ask, why? Thank you. We ask why. Lord, I didn't ask for anything out of the ordinary. I did it with a pure spirit, but it didn't happen. Well, tonight, I want to give you the definitive biblical answer, and I challenge anybody to question me on this one, and I'd be glad to do it. The definitive biblical answer as to why God answers things one way or why God answers them another way. And guess what that answer is? We don't know. And if someone ever answers that question, run from them really fast. We don't know. Friends, I love what Psalm 115 verse 3 says. It says, our God is in heaven, and guess what? He does whatever pleases him. Have you ever heard the old saying, he is God and we are not? Right? So we trust him, but again, we wrestle with this. We say, God, what's the deal here? But thankfully, we have this promise, ask and you shall receive. Then we have the real life situations. We ask with the right heart. They didn't happen. But thankfully, friends, we're not left out into the prayer cold, if that makes sense. When we look at this Matthew 7 passage, and we look at the totality of Scripture in prayer, and we look at the prayers that Jesus Christ himself prayed, we can find a template. We can find a purpose. We can find a joy in prayer that we can always count on and know that we can pray these things with confidence. And I want to share with you some of these prayers we can pray with confidence. And the first one is, we can pray our heart's desire. Now, let me explain that to you really fast. Let me tell you some of the things I pray about. I pray for world peace. I pray for the Muslim nations to come to their senses, for someone to penetrate that veil of evil and share the gospel, and those folks just start getting baptized into Christ. I pray for racism in our country to go away, for hate just to leave us. I pray for big stuff. There'll be a relationship that seems to be broken and there's no way to fix it. We say we're going to give up on it. I keep praying. I say, Lord, until the last second when we know it's not going to happen and it can't happen, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep praying about these big things. I'll tell you what I pray for the church. I pray that we will get focused on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get focused on majoring in minors. But when a church will get together and say the number one thing we're going to do is preach the gospel the way it is in the Word, share with people the heart of Jesus, help them understand and be baptized into Christ, that's when a church will come together. That's when great things will happen. And I pray for that. I pray for what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, I pray that we all have the same mind and the same heart and we stick together and love one another. You may say, Brian, those are just big things. Why would you waste prayers on stuff like that? Well, let me tell you why I waste prayers on the Muslims and racism to end and world peace. I pray for Boris Yeltsin to come to his senses. Why do I pray those things? Because in Scripture, I see that God cares about those things. God does let us have free will. We understand that, right? We can do what we want. They can do what they want. But I think those things fit in with the heart of God. And so you know what? I'm not going to stop praying. I don't care how massive it seems. Heard a guy one time who had an inner city ministry, and he got his folks together. Maybe this touched my heart because I'm in Rush Street a lot all the time. He said, I want to get together, and I want to start getting our folks, and we're going to pray that we will alleviate hunger in this town altogether. He didn't get a lot of takers. And why do you think that is? Some pragmatic, practical people said, well, that's kind of pie in the sky, isn't it? You can't alleviate hunger. It's never going to happen. He said, why not? Why can't we get together right now and say, God, it may seem big, it may seem large, but our goal is to alleviate hunger in this town. But here's the thing about this guy. He didn't just talk about it. He said, I'm going to pray about it. Then he got up the next day and started doing something about it. He put feet to his prayers. But sometimes we say, oh, that's too big. We shouldn't pray that. Friends, I believe the Bible says we can pray our heart's desire. Let me ask you a question. You ever heard of the Iron Curtain, the USSR? You ever heard of apartheid in South America? You ever heard of slavery in America? Think how many decades and decades and decades people pray for that poison to go away and never come around again. Oh, back in the 40s and 50s, don't pray for that. Communism's never going to go away. Apartheid's never going to be stopped. But people over there and over here prayed and prayed and worked and served. And where are those at today? Where's the Soviet Union? Where's communism? Where's apartheid? Where's slavery in America? They are abolished because people didn't give up. Now, it took generations and generations, but they never give up. They never stop praying their heart and believing God for some powerful things. But the other thing, part of that is, too, if you're going to pray for these things, do something about it. Don't just pray for your neighbor to be fed. You know, pray for your neighbor to be fed and then go find ways to serve your neighbor and help feed him. Does that make sense, church? But do you understand that we can pray these big things and not think, well, it's just a waste of prayer time. We shouldn't be praying about that stuff. Yes, we should. We pray our hearts because God knows our hearts and he loves us. Now, is he going to answer every one of them on our time? And the answer is no. I read a statement recently, and I think it's so powerful on this idea. It said, in his word, God invites us to plainly ask for what we want and what we need. We will not be scolded for doing this any more than a child who climbs into their parents' lap at Christmas with a Christmas wish list. Would you get your kids send you a Christmas comes in, you go, well, that's dumb. I'm not going to do that. Why would you ask for that? Moms and dads, you don't give them everything, do you? But you're not going to go, that's dumb. You love that they come and ask you, don't you? You'll make the decisions, but you're never going to say, don't ask. That's foolish. Guys, it's the same thing with us and God. Here's a big thing is physical ailments and pain. Some people say, well, you know, it's not going to happen, so let's just quit. I don't believe that. Until I see that something's not going to change, maybe someone's in the ground or they're paralyzed or something like that, I pray. As a matter of fact, you got someone who has some serious physical ailments. It doesn't look good. It'd be very appropriate to pray, you know, Heavenly Father, you have a plan for this person's life. I trust your plan. I know you know every hair on their head and you love them. But you tell me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, to come before the throne of grace with confidence in my time of need. And I'm coming. I want to tell you, it's in my heart. I trust your will. I'll take what you do. You make it happen. But I'm going to come by faith and say, I want this person to be healed. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Wouldn't that be appropriate, friends? And then let God make the call on how it happens. But don't give up. Don't stop. You know, we may say, well, ask and you shall receive. Well, I'm not going to get everything. Don't let that dissuade you. I don't know the answer to that one. I'm telling you right off the bat. But again, I know the scripture says we can pray and we can pray from our heart and let God make the call in the end. Does everyone here know what a prayer of lament is? You ever heard of that before? I love this little girl's raising her hand. You guys are teaching the Bible here. That's pretty cool. She's like, a prayer of lament means I am in pain. You read the Psalms, right? A prayer of lament means my heart is breaking. Friends, it isn't just Job. It isn't just the Psalms. There are prayer laments all throughout Scripture. What are the two most prominent? Jesus himself. In the garden, what's he say? If there's any way for this not to happen, please, Lord, make it go away. And what's coming out of his forehead? He's praying pretty intensely, and he's in agony, crying out to God. And what's the other one? Psalm 22 on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes we say, well, we shouldn't complain. You know, we should just buck it up. I don't believe that. You know, when you live in a world of broken relationships, global terror, we're cheated, parents with dementia, I'm there right now going through the final stages with my mother. It ain't fun if you've been there. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, the decline of civility and morality in the world. We can look and say, what's going to be with these folks in the next 20 or 30 years? But you know what? I believe there's good things waiting on them. I'm not going to live in that dark shell. It's a mess out there, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cry out and say, God, this is bad. I don't like this. But again, as I make the lament, guess what I'm also going to do? I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to teach my son to love people regardless of race, creed, or color. I'm going to go out and try to help people. I want to serve people. I'm just not going to be a complainer. It's okay to cry out and say, I'm mad about this, and it breaks my heart, God. Jesus did it. Everybody else did. But then I want to go and do something about it. I think about Job. Job actually cursed the day he was born. That's rough stuff. And I'll say it one more time. Some people get mad at God a little bit, and I don't think God has a problem with that. Read Psalm 22. Mary and Martha, in John chapter 11, they said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother hadn't died. Right? So again, sometimes we're not trying to be mean to God and everything, but he wants to hear from us. If your children come to you and they lament and they cry and they're in pain, are you going to say, buck it up and stop that? No, you're going to listen because you love them. We're not being disrespectful, but prayers of lament are very inappropriate prayers, and God wants to hear exactly what's in our heart. Do you believe that, church? Read the Bible. We come to him and we lay our cries out there. There's a lot of folks in Psalms who wish some pretty dastardly stuff on their enemies, don't they? I think that's a very appropriate place to take those, because rather than doing it in real life, think about Psalm 137, I want to take the Edomites' kids and dash them against a rock. He's hurting that bad. He didn't do it, but he gives to God that pain. That's a safe place to take those hurts. Amen, brothers and sisters? You know, I'm telling you, we all have those angers sometimes, don't we? And we pretend we shouldn't be like that. We're a Christian. We're human beings. Take those things to the Father. Give them to him. Don't act them out in real life. That's a sin. But God cares about what we care about, and prayers of lament are very appropriate. I want to tell you another prayer that I can guarantee you. You go back to Matthew 7, this prayer will be guaranteed to be answered every single time, hands down, no matter what. And that is a prayer of confession. When a child of God realizes that they messed up, let me ask you a question one more time. How many still pray? How many are baptized believers? That tells me you still mess up. You're not just praying for, Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for this wonderful family. You blow it sometimes, right? But when you go to your Father, when I go to my Father, no matter what we do, We tend to categorize sin here on the earth, but God doesn't do that. Now, there are still consequences to deal with here on the earth. Don't get me wrong. But every time a child of God, a baptized believer, goes to their heavenly Father and says, I blew it. I messed up. I am so sorry, God. Please forgive me. Guess what God does every single time? He has a unified response, and I want to read it to you. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remember your sins no more. Hebrews 8:12, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 10:17. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you mark in your Bibles or not. I do mine. But I want to share with you one that to me is the epitome of this idea that God will forgive his children no matter what. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John. We're going to park in chapter 1, 1 John. I really want you to hear this, this idea of confession for sins that God will forgive us no matter what. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Friends, do you know what that word all is in the original Greek? All. He says, when you come with a pure heart as a Christian, again, consequences here are still there, don't get me wrong, but if you truly come with a pure heart and ask for forgiveness, what does God do every single time for his children? He forgives us. Sometimes, though, we think, what? I blew it too bad. I'm a person of faith. I know I shouldn't have done that. Well, of course you do. When you guys mess up, do you know it? I do. That's the Holy Spirit convicting us. It's not who we are, right? The Word shows us this is not who you are. So again, I say, yeah, I knew I messed up, but God, I want to do what's right. I want to do better. But sometimes we think, I can't go to the Father. I blew it. He's going to be mad at me. He's not. He remembers your sins no more, and he will forgive a Christian for how much unrighteousness? Help me say it one more time. All unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but that gives me great comfort, my Heavenly Father, because I still pray, which means I still blow it from time to time. I don't want to. I don't do it on purpose. But every time I come to him and every time you come to him, there's grace and forgiveness and kindness and love and second and third and 90th chances. And that is good news. Amen, church? I'll tell you another thing we can pray for confidently is God's peace. Think of Isaiah's messianic prophecy about Jesus. It's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. God is a God of peace. Now, I will tell you this, friends, just because you're praying for peace doesn't mean that God's going to take your pain away immediately. But you know what? To me, the verse that really speaks about this idea of prayer and peace coming together, that God will answer and come through, I want us to read it together again. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And again, this might be one you want to mark down. Most of you probably have it already. When it comes to praying for peace and God bringing it, this speaks just to that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything. You know what that Greek word means anything? It's translated anything means? You get it now, don't you? It means anything. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I look around and see, I'm going to be nice when I say this, I see some maturity. Which means you're old like me. You guys been through some doozies in your life, adults? You've been through some ringers, some pain and hurt and sorrow. There was no way it was going to be fixed, but you said, you know what, God? I take you at your word. I don't know how to do it. I'm on my knees, but I am going to come to you, and I am going to cast all my anxieties on you just like you say. I believe your promise. I believe your word. I am praying, Father, and I need the peace that passes all understanding. Have you ever been in a situation, adults, and some of you are going to shake your head when you said, this is messed up, there's no way out of it, but you just feel that peace from God that transcends understanding. You've been there, haven't you? God will bring that. Again, doesn't mean your situation's going to change. Doesn't mean things get rosy altogether, but God will answer your prayer. He will bring peace if we will cast all our anxieties on Him and let Him be God and stop trying to be God ourselves. I can handle it. I can cover it. I got it. You know what? If I run my own life, guess where I run it? Into the ground. But I want to give it to God because He knows what He's doing. When I'm praying for peace, I got to tell you what really has, it makes sense to me and gives me the best peace of all. I don't have to talk God into loving me and being concerned. When I come to Him, He cares more than I could ever fathom. When I was baptized on September 10th, 1987, at 11:20 p.m. in Niceville, Florida, you know how I know that? Some of you guys are old-timers like me. We used to always have a clock on the back of all the churches. Do you remember that? And why was the clock back there? So guys like me would shut up and hurry up and get it over with. Don't go too long. Well, I came out of that water, and I looked right at the clock. It was 11:20 p.m., and from that point on, I was a child of God. I don't have to talk Him into loving me. When I blow it, He's not just chastising and pointing His finger at me. He'll let me suffer the consequences of my decision. Do not get me wrong. But as Hebrews 12 says, that's a way to bring me back to repentance so He can give me His love and His forgiveness and His freedom. But I don't have to talk God into loving me, and neither do you. God wants to give peace. He cares, and He will give it if we ask. Now, I want to tell you, friends, the list goes on and on. We pray for God's presence. When you were baptized into Christ, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, presence of God. We may think that God's way over there, our prayers go to right here. It's not true. God came to dwell and live, and it's part of us through the Spirit and through the Word. So when we want God's presence, He's there. All we have to do is ask. Do you ever really, you ever catch your heart getting a little hard? Come on now, let's be real. I know I do sometimes. I say, God, I want to be more compassionate. I want to be more forgiving. I'm starting to see a little bit of the negative of things right now. God, I don't want to be like that. I can see all their failures and can see none of mine. But I'm telling you, friends, when we pray for a compassionate, kind heart, based on the compassion and kindness and forgiveness God has shown us, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, guess what's going to happen? God's going to start melting our heart, and those things are going to start really pouring out of us. More compassion, more forgiveness. And what about being grateful? You know, we can say, oh, look what they got. Look at what they got. Wish I had one of those. Wish my family looked like that. What's that get us? Misery. Friends, if we decide we're going to be more grateful, I'm going to thank God for what He gives me. I'm not going to focus on what I don't have. I'm going to focus on what I do have, and I'm going to try to put my spirit in alignment with His. I want to focus on this Word. I want to take it at the Word. I want it to inundate my heart, and I want to be different. Guess what's going to happen? Our attitudes will change. You ask any medical doctor, there may be a medical doctor in here, and they will tell you people with a good, kind, upbeat, positive spirit who are grateful, they're healthier than most people, and they live longer. I love Proverbs 17:22. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. So if we pray for that, we pray for a heart of gratitude, we can be guaranteed, friends, God's going to give it to us. Because we all so many things we can thank God for, wouldn't you agree? Take a deep breath. That's a gift from God, right? The clothes you have, the house you have, the refrigerator you have, all those things are a great, perfect gift from our Father in heaven. Let's start focusing on those and ask God to help us do that in prayer, and we can be guaranteed it's going to happen. You know, and finally, one prayer I know that always is going to be answered is a prayer for more faith. And let me tell you why I know that. First of all, I have faith in God, and I believe in God, but I want more faith. Can you relate to that? Something can come up, something can be really bad, and I catch myself staggering a little bit. I want more faith. I can really relate to the guy, the father, in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. He's got a son who's taken over by an impure spirit. He says, I want him healed. And Jesus says, do you really want him healed? And what does he say? He says, I do, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. You ever been there before? The thing about, what I'm trying to say is this. We pray for God's will. Would you not agree? That's our goal, to pray for God's will. Is it God's will that we have more faith and grow in faith in Jesus Christ? I think that's very tangibly God's will. You find it all throughout Scripture. So if I say, God, I want to grow in faith, but then I also got to start practicing the spiritual disciplines to make it happen, right? I'm not going to get it sitting on the couch. God, I want more faith, and I am going to start not just reading my Bible and things like that. Those are important. I'm going to do things to serve. I'm going to look out for ways to help people. I want to do things that get me out in the game of making this world a better place. Father, help me have faith, and I'm going to start making things happen in my life to help my faith grow. Guess what's going to happen? And let me tell you why I know that from a physical standpoint. I'm not saying this to shock you guys right now, but I haven't always been this huge and muscular. Hey, what are you laughing at? That's a good thing. That was a joke. But let's just say I decided I want to start working out like I did back 30 years ago. And I buy a bench press, and I buy some weights, and I start running, and I do it consistently every single day. What's the probability that I'm going to get weaker and smaller? It's zero, isn't it? I can't work out every day. I can't put the time in the gym. I can't put the time in on the track and come out and say, I'm running slower than I did a month ago, and I'm weaker than I was. It can't happen. It's the same thing spiritually, friends. If I say, I'm going to get serious about getting into the Word, not just reading little devos and things like that. I want to go find out what's going on at the church, and I'm going to get after it. I want to exercise my spiritual muscles. I want to be part of the game. I want to get in the game. I want to do things that bring the light of Jesus to the world. How can your faith not grow? But a big part of that is, Father, get me off the spiritual couch. We all go through the doldrums sometimes. I want to get back in the game. And every time we pray for God to do that, we can be guaranteed it's going to happen. Now, again, this idea of ask and you shall receive, you know, and sometimes we ask. I understand about we ask with the wrong motives. I understand about asking God's will. But still, there's always a little discontinuity there, isn't there? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm telling you the one thing I know with all my heart, and that is that prayer works. Prayer matters. When I come to the Father from my heart and tell Him what's on my heart, He cares every single time. And as I've gotten older, I'll tell you one thing I've learned about prayer that really makes a lot of sense to me. Now, I may have heard it 30 years ago, didn't really get it, but when I'm praying a lot of times, prayer might not change my situation the way I want it, but every time I come to the Father in trust and faith, prayer changes me. Can you relate to that? I realize I can be more patient. I can say, God, I'm not the boss of this. I'm going to wait for your will to be done. And again, the cool thing is, the worst thing that could happen to somebody we're praying for is they die, right? I don't think that's the worst thing. For a Christian, I think it's the best thing. Don't you? Where are you going if you die? I didn't hear you. You going to scare me with that? Oh, my goodness, the worst thing ever. I went to Indianapolis 2 weeks ago and did a meeting for the whole weekend, and I got on an airplane, and the day before I got on the airplane, this lady on a business trip, just going through life normally, she gets on the plane, she sits down, she's resting, just like we've all done 100 times probably, and the engine blows up and kills her. Y'all remember that? Well, I get on the plane the very next day, I look at my seat, it's like 17C or something like that. I look out, and guess what I'm sitting right next to? I'm sitting next to the engine. But you know what? I'm not going to move. This is my seat. If the engine blows up and kills me, guess where I'm going? Thank you. Thank you. I want to say it again, friends. I don't have a death wish. I'm like Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want to live the best I can. But you know what? If God wants to take me home, I'm ready to go. Wouldn't you want to see grandkids and all that type of stuff? Well, of course I do. I can't control that, though. What I've controlled is I know where my destiny is going to be. Because I've trusted in Jesus and believed in Jesus and been baptized into Jesus. I'm not perfect or holier than thou. But you know what? I know I'm going to heaven because I trust in what He did. Don't you? That takes the fear away, brothers and sisters. And then we can just pray and say, God, I want these things. I'm praying these things, but I trust you to make the decision. You're God and I'm not. There's just so much freedom in that. I can tell you, friends, talking to my Heavenly Father in real, open, authentic communication, telling Him everything that I struggle with, everything I want, I lose my keys. What's the first thing I do? I start praying, Lord, help me find my keys. And almost every time he'll quiet, there isn't a light that goes, hallelujah, and the keys are right there. But my mind starts quieting. I sit down and say, Lord, just give me peace in my head, and I'll go back, and almost every time I find my keys. Prayer does that for me. Prayer gets me into his presence. And I know that prayer is my greatest gift and my greatest blessing. Do I pray enough? No. Do I pray poorly at times? Undeniably. Do I pray all the right things? Do I pray selfishly sometimes? Probably. But I have complete trust that my Father in heaven, who loves me more than anything, wants me to crawl up into his lap. He hears my prayers, and he will make the decision that's absolutely perfectly right for me. Isn't that peace? So again, friends, I don't know the answer to this. He says, ask and you shall receive. I don't know, but I do know this. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep asking by faith. Where hard times, good times, big times, low times, I trust my Father. He says to ask. I'm going to ask with confidence, and I'm going to leave the results up to him. You know, as we close out tonight, I guess really the main thought I wanted to leave with you is this. Just pray. Pray in the morning. Pray in the noontime. Pray in the valley. Pray on the mountaintop. As a matter of fact, friends, you know, you can pray all night long. You know why you can do that? Some of you know. God's going to be up all night anyway. Tonight, I just want to encourage you to pray. And pray with faith and confidence and hope. And see what God does for you. Two things I want to end with. First of all, can we pray for you? Well, thank you. These girls are awesome. They're talking. I preached in black churches before. They'll talk to you, man. She's like, amen, brother. A lot of times we I'm not trying to be negative about this, but we put the church face on. How you doing? I'm doing great, brother. How you doing? I'm doing great. How you doing? I like her. But we're really hurting inside. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We don't want to know your business. We don't want to know details. We don't need to know details. But if you're hurting, we would love to pray for you. Just to get with you as things falling apart on me. To get with you, to hold your hand, to take you before the throne of grace, and love on you with the Father. I'll just hold it. I got to tell you, one of the greatest things we can do, friends, and one of the greatest spiritual, I guess you'd say, blessings we have is to pray for each other. Wouldn't you agree? I'll tell you, this last year and a half has been the absolute worst, most horrific year of my life. But I've had people in Georgia praying for me daily. I've had hundreds of people in Oklahoma, in Indiana, and in Texas laying me before the throne of grace, loving on me and helping me. And I guarantee you, it's probably the biggest reason I'm standing before you today besides God's grace. Friends, prayer matters. So in a second, this gentleman's going to sing a song. If we can pray for you, let us pray for you. But the main thing is, and I always want to make sure we say this, Sunday night in churches, we're going to probably be guaranteed folks or most folks here are people of faith, but I never want to take the opportunity to let you know tonight could be the night of salvation. Amen, church? We could walk out here today and get hit by a bus. You don't want to put it off. If you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, if you've never been baptized into Jesus for the remission of your sins, tonight's the night of salvation. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the fact. People all day long nowadays are going to the park, and some weirdo gets in a van and will run them all over and kill them. We're not promised tomorrow, but if we will trust in Jesus and believe in Jesus, we can know where we're going. But while we're here, we are going to have the most beautiful, organic, real, authentic opportunity to speak to the Father, to be in communion with him. He hears everything we say, and he'll do exactly what's right. So if we can pray for you tonight, you're welcome to come down. And if you do need to be baptized into Christ, remember tonight is the night of salvation as we stand and sing.